Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Dracula Untold. Dracula Untold is a 2014 American action horror film directed by Gary Shaw and written by Matt Zamana and Burke Sharpless. As his kingdom is being threatened by the Turks, Prince Vlad Tepes must become a monster feared by his own people in order to obtain the power needed to protect his family and the families of his kingdom. Boys, let the games begin.
That's good.
I'll tell you what. Woo! Can you just read the two writers again there for me, Damo?
All right. Matt Zamana.
Yep.
And Burke Sharpless.
So these guys, this is their best film, I think, as a screenwriting duo, which isn't hard because fuck some of the other movies they've been attached to.
What else?
They wrote Morbius.
Oh, boys.
They wrote Gods of Egypt.
Oh, fellas.
They wrote Madame Web.
No.
They have written, I think this is the only movie on that, like, their list of credits that I'm like, oh, yeah, good on you, boys.
I can't believe they wrote Morbius and Sony got them back to do Madame Web.
Well, I can't believe they wrote this and Morbius because Morbius is just this.
I want to counter this by saying, so there's a writer on Twitter who said, I read both scripts for Dracula Untold and was it Gods of Egypt?
Yes.
Gods of Egypt, both films read before they were even made and said the scripts were really fucking good.
I will say the Dracula Untold script was on the blacklist.
It was on the blacklist in 2006.
Right. I also can see, here's the thing, with this movie, I can see the bits that are good.
But this is the thing this writer was trying to say is, you guys, you watch the finished product, which can get mangled through many different chefs in the kitchen and all of that. Sometimes these things are really good and then interference gets in the way.
Yeah.
And I think Dracula Untold is a film that large parts of it really work for me, but I love this movie, I should say. Mm-hmm. I'll openly admit the last 20 to 25 minutes go so off the fucking rails. It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is a year of passion.
Yes.
Very passionate about this movie. I love it. Great. I really do.
It's not going to surprise any listeners. Sean Carney chose this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. I don't mind Dracula. I don't mind vampire movies.
How many different copies of Dracula do you own?
Seven.
Seven books. And how many have you read?
Next question.
Okay.
Sorry. I do own seven different copies of Dracula.
Amazing.
I'll keep buying them.
Yeah.
How many did you say you wanted? Covers.
1,000?
1,000, maybe a million.
Okay.
Yep. I'll settle for 10.
All right.
I like buying them.
Yeah.
Frustratingly, the one place I really wanted to buy one was Romania
when
I was there. Yeah. Couldn't find it anywhere.
Get out.
Absolutely fucking absurd. I just thought I'd be having to buy 10 copies in Romania.
Yeah.
I'd be swimming in copies.
I reckon your best place to actually buy one?
Yeah.
Ireland.
Yeah, great call. I went to Ireland.
That's where Bram Stoker is from. He's from Dublin. He was mates with James Joyce and...
Yeah, there's
Arthur Conan Doyle. They were friends. Stoker, I think, who told him to kill Sherlock.
There's a bar in Dublin that is like a writer's bar that is like a tribute to all of them. Yeah, it's funny. When I was in Ireland, I didn't even think to look for a Dracula book.
Yeah.
That was a long, long time.
Time to go back, Sean.
Yeah, time to go back.
Scaredy Boys trip to Ireland. Let's go.
Let's do it.
We've got to go to Scotland as well so we can go to Loch Ness.
Yep.
Get out on the water on a boat there.
Go to Romania and find Dracula.
I, honest to God, loved Romania. It is so good. I'm a Dracula boy. Yeah. I visited the village there called Bran, which is where Bran Castle is, which is also Castle Dracula. It doesn't really have anything to do with him. There's just like a thought that at some point Vlad the Impaler maybe was there at some point.
Right.
And it just gets called, Castle Dracula. And it's a tourist little hub. And it's like, for my girlfriend, she was like, this is just a weird place to be. And I was like, my brain is on fire with creativity. I love being in this tacky little place with all the little t-shirts. And I've got a coffee mug at home. I should show you one day. I've never shown you this mug. It's an insane coffee mug. Okay. It's like Castle Dracula. And it's like the most impractical mug in the world. And
is it castle shaped?
Yeah.
Why are you kidding?
No, like it's modeled on the castle, but like the top is like is flat. Like
Yeah.
So it's not like big tower or anything. But I'll have to show you it. It's hard to describe what it is. It's insane. We'll post a picture of it on social media.
Wow,
it's a great mug. I've never drank anything from it because I'm scared of breaking it.
You might impale yourself on it.
I think I've told you about the impaling thing, right?
What's that?
Which is the actual method of the impaling is to shove the spear or whatever you have up the anus and through the internal organs and through the mouth, which the movies never do. It's kind of like Vlad's impaling people. He's just like stabbing them through the chest sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was an eye-opening thing to find.
That is truly, like, the fact that happened, not just in the movies.
I read about it on, like...
He's a real guy.
I read about it on a statue in a village in Romania, and there was, like, kids walking around reading it, and I'm like, this is so fucked to read. Like, it's just insane.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong on my Dracula lore.
Yeah.
Does Bram Stoker write Dracula, and then it kind of gets re-engineered? Does he always say it's Vlad the Impaler, or has that come much later?
I don't know if he ever really bought into the whole Vlad thing. I think people were trying to put a historical name
spin on
to
it.
The thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he did a lot of research, but Bram Stoker is really interesting. For instance, he never went to Romania, so he was writing about the mountains and the Carpathia Mountains and all this, and had never been there. He just read it in books that he saw.
Amazing.
And I think he would have read. He read extensively about the history of the area of Transylvania and all of that and the wars against the Turks and everything. So Vlad would have been someone that he encountered, but I think maybe he grabbed a few little things. But yeah, it was never supposed to be a direct
one-to-one.
This is him, but that's exactly what it is now. And in tourist areas, it's very much like you can visit the house where Vlad was born and he grew up and it's all Dracula stuff there. And
Does it also is it also perpetuated by the Coppola's Dracula, which leans very heavily into the Vlad thing?
Oh yeah, I think it straight up is like, yes, he is Vlad.
Right.
Yeah. It does lean into that. Certain stuff. There's so many adaptations and stuff of this. It's Dracula's probably the most,
adapted
screen character ever, probably.
Probably, yeah.
So there's lots of interpretations.
Yeah.
I love it. This movie has a special place in my heart. Mm. I don't know if I've ever told you about this. It came out in 2014.
Yep.
In October 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And in October 2014, I went to Nepal for nearly 3 months.
Mm.
2 days before I left on the trip, I went to the cinema and I saw Dracula Untold. And then for 3 months, I'm a movie boy. I love watching movies. Didn't have access to movies.
No.
I reckon I've thought about Dracula Untold more than anybody in the world.
I didn't know that that's why it is so that was embedded the last, in your brain.
Yeah. It was the last movie I watched before I went, and I was just like replaying it in my head heaps and thinking about Dracula.
Walking across the mountains
and thinking about, what do they call it in the movie? Beartooth Mountain.
Broken Tooth Cave, or whatever it is.
So yeah, I thought about this movie a lot, and I watched it when I got back.
Okay.
It wasn't the first movie. The first movie I watched when I got back was Gladiator, but that's because on the trip someone gave me Marcus Aurelius's book Meditations.
Yes,
so I read that and I was like, what, what's that Marcus Aurelius movie? But yeah, no, I love Dracula, and I fully accept this movie is it's a bit trashy, I'll say.
Yeah.
It makes Dracula a superhero, which is bonkers, and I kind of respect it.
I'm there. I was very there for it.
Yeah.
Rewatching it to do this episode.
Yeah. It's dumb fun.
Inside the first 5 minutes, I had this feeling of, oh no. I'm putting the boys through something here. But then I settled into it, and I love the things that I love about it. I genuinely love the whole three-day thing.
Mm.
His people are under threat.
Yeah.
They're going to be annihilated and enslaved. Yeah. He chooses to go to a monster and takes on this responsibility of, you have my power for 3 days, but if you succumb to your needs and you drink blood, that's it. I'll be free. You'll be cursed forever.
Mm.
And I love that. I love that ticking sort of time.
I agree. I thought that was brilliant. I was actually, like, very quickly, there was the one thing that always frustrates me with these things is they've all got British accents. I have no idea why.
Also, one of the Turkish soldiers is a blonde man who looks Swedish. And the other Turkish soldier is Dominic Cooper.
Is that Bright Eyes, the character?
Yes.
Yeah.
The idea behind him is that he was a slave who was... I'm not sure where they've captured him from when he was a kid and he was bred as a warrior.
The same way Vlad was.
I'm not sure where he's supposed to have come from, but yeah.
So, yeah, there was like the sort of... The original narration from the son, who's just like the most little angelic.
It's the kid from British Game of Thrones. Yeah, I think Rickon Stark. I will say this. I think the kid's pretty shit in it.
Yeah.
And I love the actress who plays the wife, but she's not
Sarah
good. Sarah Gaydon. She's not good in this either.
No.
Funnily enough, she plays a vampire in a movie I think you might have seen. Vampires versus the Bronx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she the lead vampire?
She's the lead vampire in that. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. She is... Yeah, look, I'm going to be very honest. Mm. There are two actors who are giving a shit in this movie.
Luke Evans is, I think, really fucking good.
Luke Evans is doing a lot of work.
I wish Luke Evans had made it into the Dark Universe.
Apparently, there was a tease either into The Mummy or the end of the Frankenstein movie with him in it.
It was The Mummy. So the plan was for him to appear in The Mummy.
I wish he had.
At some point. And in fact, the jump forward that happens at the end of this film was filmed last because they suddenly the Dark Universe was starting to pick up steam, this idea of doing it.
Oh, right. Just the idea of it.
The discussions of it.
So they filmed it.
So they filmed that so that the writers would have an option to sort of
Because Mummy comes out 3 years after this. Is that right?
Yeah. 2017, I think that came out. Yeah.
And it's also, it makes sense for him to be in London. He's again, also because he's not the Dracula that we think we know. He's honestly just in London trying to keep out of trouble.
Yeah.
And he's seen the face of his true love.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
And Charles Dance is like, no, let the games begin. Because here's my thing. This movie wanted a sequel.
Yeah.
Whether that was via the Dark Universe or just a Dracula Untold 2.
Just do one. Come back and do it.
Come back and do another one.
Charles
I want to know who Charles Dance's master is. Because that's how he wants to fuck up.
Do you want some information?
Yes.
I got some juice.
Oh,
the boys come with some juice.
Charles just Dance. Call him Boost. Here he is. I don't know. Juicy.
I don't know who he wants to fuck up. I find that very juicy.
Mm.
He is referred to as Master Vampire in the credits. Right. They scrapped this idea. He is supposed to be Caliglia. I can't say the guy's name.
Caliglia.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The Emperor.
The Roman Emperor. Because he says... Emperor. He made a deal to protect his people.
Yeah.
So that's who he was supposed to be, and that was going to be revealed. And I think that's really fucking interesting. And also, Charlie Cox was in this film.
Oh, I love Charlie Cox.
As a young Charles Dance.
Oh.
They were going to show scenes of that, so we were going to get a bit of what happened. They filmed them. They just cut them.
Right.
And the actress who's
in... Is there a director's cut?
No, I don't think so. It's his first time directing a movie, so I don't think...
He's only made four movies, just FYI. Okay.
The actress who's in Les Mis, Samantha Barks, I think the actress's name is.
Yeah.
She was cast in this too, and her role was cut from the film. She was playing Baba Yaga.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So this movie was like, had some real shit that it was cooking. And I guess, I wonder if it was like a 2 hour movie that got cut down to a tight 90.
Can I say, it at times it does feel like it has been edited.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah. It's like, it is a 90, which when we press play, I was like, sick.
Thankful for that. Yeah.
Thankful for that.
Can I say, 90, do you know what it actually technically is? I don't know. Oh, you know what I watched it on? I watched it on a streaming service that plays things a little bit faster.
So did I.
It was 88 minutes for me.
Right. I've got to say, that becomes very obvious when you've seen something before.
Right.
There's a stupid...
I thought I needed it for TV shows.
There's a really stupid... This is on Binge, which I think is Foxtel.
Yeah.
There's a very stupid...
Fuck you, Rupert Murdoch.
Danny McBride show called Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
There's a scene in that I fucking love where he's playing in Mexico and he comes in and he wants to like apologize to the team and he wants to play one more game. He rips a huge speech. I love a sports speech.
Mm.
So I've watched that scene in my life a lot of times. I saw it on Binge at some point recently, and when I watch it, it feels completely off because you can feel the time. They do that little thing where they suck the time in, don't they?
Yeah. So
Why do they fucking do that? I'm watching this scene that I've watched probably 50 times in my life, and I go, it doesn't feel right because the timing's off.
Eastbound and Down is so good. It has the best tagline of all time, which is when Kenny Powers comes back, he comes back hard.
Yeah. It was a good show. John Hawkes is in that, and I love John Hawkes.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey, Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I forgot about Matthew McConaughey. Will Ferrell's very funny in it. He's the car salesman, isn't he?
Will Ferrell.
Ashley Schaefer.
Yeah. But McConaughey plays his manager?
McConaughey plays a scout.
That's right.
In the later seasons. Yeah. Dracula. God. Yeah, Baba Yaga. Yeah. That would have been a fucking...
That would have been fucking
insane. Can we get Baba Yaga in the Dark Universe? Why not?
Once again, we know where I stand on the Dark Universe.
Yeah.
I said this in my review on Letterboxd. there is a version of it makes me happy to know there is a version of reality out there. If we believe in a multiverse where the dark universe was massive, and I just know I'm happier in that universe.
Yes,
I'm pretty happy here.
Things could be more, but I could be.
I could be eagerly anticipating Frankenstein versus Dracula.
I love Luke Evans in this role. Yeah. I think he's really great. He sells it. I like this angle that they have that he was this famed crazy warrior who's put that behind him.
Yeah.
And even
he's trying
like,
to move on.
You know, the early scenes where he threatens one of the Turks that's come to like say, we're going to take the kids away.
Yeah.
And he says to him, don't you know who I am? And he's like, who you used to be. It's like this whole faded warrior aspect to it. Does he still have what it takes?
There's a line he delivers to Charles Dance in the cave when like Charles Dance calls him out for like, how many people did you kill? And he lies and he loses his mind and says, thousands. Yeah. Right. And he goes,
And how did you feel? Yeah. I felt nothing.
I felt nothing.
A greater crime. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the line he says, which is like, men don't fear swords, they fear monsters.
Yeah.
And like that actually blew. This is where I can see there was clearly a great script once. Yeah. Because I was like, that is actually a huge idea delivered succinctly, lost in this sort of.
That is a dark universe sized idea.
Yeah. Right.
That's a really cool idea.
Because he even says that's the whole thing. He's like, I destroyed one village.
Yeah.
So the Turks then didn't destroy more villages because they all went into line because he's like, it's not good.
No.
What I did was bad, but if I didn't kill 1,000 people, I would have killed 100,000.
And like, that's such a huge idea. Yeah. And again, that line just blew. I wrote it down because I'm like, that's fucking good. I wasn't expecting
there's
that.
There's some
movie.
Really good bits in it.
Yeah.
For me, like I love the whole thing. Okay. You've got the 3 days thing, but you're going to be tempted by blood at every turn. To me, they don't lean into the temptation anywhere near enough. There's even a scene later on where like after the village, the kingdom or whatever fucking know that he's the vampire and stuff. He's sitting in the church and his son comes and sits next to him. And I'm like, at this point in the film,
this is it.
You should not be around your kid because the want for blood should be unbearable.
Yeah.
They don't lean into that enough. No. They have like, he talks to his wife in the tent. It's very funny because initially they're about to have sex and his scars have healed, of course.
Mm.
And she doesn't even really comment on it until like she sees it a second time. And then she's like, what's going on?
She touches his back and you see a look of confusion on her face. But then
too horny.
Luke Heavens. Luke Heavens to Betsy. Luke's sending her to heaven.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm getting horny and her blood is pumping.
Yeah.
I want to eat her soul. I want to eat my wife.
Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Not in a sexy way. In a little bit of a sexy way.
Can I tell you an actor who I loved the work of in this movie?
Okay.
So there's the guy who works for Dominic Cooper's name's, it's Mehmet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or something like that. His messenger guy who initially comes at the start of the film.
Yes.
That's a really good performance, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That actor is named Ferdinand Kingsley.
Okay.
And he is the son of Ben Kingsley.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
He was really good.
That's very funny.
Yeah. Brief role. I love that scene where they're going to give the boy away and then he says, run back to your mum. And then he fights them. And just that look on his face where he's like, damn it, I did. I killed again.
Yeah.
I had to do it.
Because he does that. There's that great shot of he just puts his hands down by his sides and he's like, one, I killed again. Two, by killing again, I've jeopardized my kingdom. And I've done exactly what my advisor has said not to do.
Yeah.
You've got to put the kingdom first, not your kids, not your family, not yourself. Yeah. Not love, not something else.
Yeah.
Come before your duty to your kingdom.
But then I like, at that point, the movie's really clipping along because it goes to suddenly you get back to the castle and he's heading straight for the fucking mountain.
Yes.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And Charles Dance, it's a cool performance. It's a yuck little design. It's you know what I find very funny too is when he first encounters the cave and then he goes back and talks to the priest and he's got the history and he's telling him a little bit about it and they show like there's just like a sketch and it's just clearly Charles Dance's face.
Yeah.
I got to ask you a question, Sean. Yeah. Favorite Charles Dance vampire performance? This or Underworld 4?
Underworld 4 and I think he's just in... No, he's in 5.
He's in 4
and
5.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's definitely in 4 and
Underworld
5.
Underworld or this?
Underused role in 4.
Yeah.
Bigger role in 5 and then ultimately wasted.
Yep.
It is this. I prefer this performance and I prefer the potential of where this performance could have gone.
Huge.
I think he's a really juicy villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got way more to do in this.
It's
a more memorable role. It's a better written role for him. It's better designed. The Underworld role for him is not great.
No, it's not really anything.
But I like it. It did pop up in IMDb trivia, I think.
Okay,
he's master vampire in here and he also played a vampire in Underworld and I'm like, there we go.
There it is.
Did you write that?
I should.
I love there's two bits just around his character in particular that I love.
Yep.
The first one is the other line in that same we talked about before, Damo, is that someone says a line along the lines of, sometimes people don't need a hero, they need a monster.
Mm.
Or that you can't be the hero, you can be the monster. And it's like, that's a really nice take. And then the son hits that again in his narration later. I also love the idea that he's met this guy and he's like, this guy's really strong-willed. Mm. And I kind of like the idea that he isn't this ravenous, crazed man.
Right.
Because that's, I think, the ultimate tragedy of it is that he would have actually survived the 3 days.
Yeah.
Because he'd fought it, he'd gotten through it, he was actually going to overcome it because his will is greater.
Mm.
But the tragedy is that his wife dies and she's like, the only way you can save our son is if you become a monster.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I think is interesting. But also, I love that Charles Dance is sitting in that cave being like, yeah, I reckon he's done it.
I really love those shots.
I reckon he's done it. He knows. He knows he's going
to
do it.
The shots that cut to him, and it's just that sort of tilt of the head. We're seeing him from behind and stuff, and it's just it's almost like he's smelling the moment that's going to come. He can sense the whole thing. It's really great.
There are some... You said this is a first-time director.
Yeah.
There are some surprisingly competent scenes happening in here. I'm mostly thinking of the one where when he's first turned into vampire and he goes, he's a one-man army, right?
Yeah.
And we get, there's this like one scene where...
The shot through the sword?
In the sword.
Yeah.
We're watching it all take place in the sword. And then even before that, there's this cannonball that sort of passes through the field and hits the thing. And it, like, even the way it's like, it's not just following the cannonball like a POV or anything like that. It's sort of like moving around in the destructive way. And you sort of, the camera's tipping up and down because obviously the ball's turning in the air. There's some actually surprisingly
I love the bats. I'm going to be honest. I love that movement. I love the effect. I love the way that he fights with them.
Yeah.
Also just love little things like men can't feel what they can't see. So he sends his whole army in blindfolded.
Yeah.
Stuff like that's really cool.
Yeah.
There's some good shit. Dominic Cooper doesn't have a lot to do in this. His accent is...
atrocious.
Yeah, it is atrocious.
The final fight, though, where he fights him on top of the silver.
That's cool. I've got to say, concept. That's cool.
That works all right.
The impact is lessened by having that annoying child actor just there being like,
Dad, Dracula.
Yeah. It's also funny that the movie doesn't address this, but like, so he violently kills Dominic Cooper while his son watches him turn into a monster and be that monster. And then they don't even share a look. He doesn't have a moment where he feels bad for what his son has witnessed. Right. It's just him leading him outside.
Yeah.
And then all of the people, look, let's talk about the last 20 minutes.
Okay.
What the fuck is up with that, man?
I think it's clear. We've talked enough about things that...
Should we jump through our questions really quick?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So were we scared?
No.
No, it's not that kind of thing.
No. Did our character act wisely or foolishly?
Luke Evans makes a big, bold choice, and it sounds foolish, but it's
as in his decision to go through what he does? Yes. Oh, no, I think he does it for the right reasons. And like you said, if not for the death of his wife, he actually would have succeeded.
Would have nailed it.
Not quite, because he didn't win the war. Like, he would have then lost his powers after those 3 days, and they would have been in
And Mehmet has his son. The only mistake he makes that is truly bad, he doesn't make sure Bright Eyes is dead.
Yeah.
He pushes him off a cliff, and then he's like, let's get out of here. He doesn't look over the cliff to check. The guy's just hanging right there.
Yeah, that was
He's got blood-sensing powers.
Just do
a quick little bum, bum, bum,
I did
bum.
Like the
There's a heart right there.
The
bang,
little vampire vision was cool as well.
It was cool, yeah.
Vampire vision, Bright Eyes, kill Blondie. Then you can take out Mehmet. You know your wife's not going to get it. Like, you're good.
You're good to go, brother.
Yeah.
But there was a thing, like, for him pursuing the need of going to Broken Tooth and becoming a vampire, I thought was great. There's even a line where he specifically states what his want for this movie is. He goes, "I just want peace, that's all."
Yeah.
And I really like that because even the way they tie him being Vlad the Impaler into his pursuit of peace is really strong.
Yep.
And so even him doing this thing, as much as like he just wants peace, but of course there's that moment where he can't help but when they're going to take his son and he fights them. So yeah, he wants it, but his own nature is going to get in the way, right? Yeah. And then once that sort of he's kicked those stones, well, okay, there is no option for peace anymore, but I definitely don't want them to slaughter us. That's not peace. So then he has to go become the monster. Like, I really think they actually did enough. Like, look, this is a sort of fairly melodramatic, medieval period drama that I was like 100% there for. I was happening to be in the right stage of mind. I don't know, but I was like, clicked in and be like, great, give me melodrama. Give me this, like these big speeches and all the rest of it. But I actually think, layering in him making this choice, to me, I didn't question it ever. I was like, yeah, of course.
I really just love that. What's the thing that he is the best at? And that is creating bloodshed.
Right.
The movie makes it that if you're around blood, that's going to be the worst possible thing for you. And it's this man fighting against his nature for the whole movie. There's interesting dynamic. And in the hands of a lesser actor, it would have not been a satisfying movie for me. And I'll give you an example. So Alex Proyas was attached to direct this for ages, and it was called Dracula Year Zero, and it was starring Sam Worthington.
Wurtho.
And Wurtho, for me, he's good in Avatar, and he can be good in stuff.
Yeah, but I think
in this
Avatar.
Role as a Dracula, he would have been shit.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. I think the saving grace of the movie is that Luke Evans is starring in it.
Alex Proyas, I don't think, is a good director.
He's one of those guys who, I mean, like, he made Dark City, which is a classic, but he's also made Gods of Egypt.
Right.
And some other turds as well, probably.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine in this role.
No, be like the most ochre fucking vampire you've ever seen.
Wurtho's good in Avatar because James Cameron is making Avatar and he built the world up around these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, you can't plug it. So originally the Blacklist script, I assume, is called Dracula Year Zero.
I think maybe.
Right.
Or that might have even been an earlier version. Although that Blacklist was 2006, wasn't it?
Right.
So yeah, it probably was a version of that. Yeah.
Man, that's wild.
And then when Alex Proyas left, there was some sort of complication. And then Wurtho said, well, I'm not staying. And he went. And then they brought in Gary and they brought in Luke Evans.
Luke Evans was a joy to watch in this film, truly.
He's very really charismatic. I like anytime he's on screen. In any movie, I think he's really good.
As well as in this movie, he really stands out. Like you said, the rest of the supporting cast aren't the best we've ever seen. So, like,
there's one other exception to that. So Charles Dance is good.
Yeah,
Luke Evans is good.
Yeah,
that grubby little man who loves the bats. His little Renfield, he's good.
He's not in it enough though.
No.
Yeah, we get the setup for him and then the payoff
vibe to him, doesn't he?
You don't see him anywhere near enough.
It's when he says master, you're like, are you about to come? What's happening?
It's juicy.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of when he comes back to fix, heal Luke Evans because Luke Evans has killed his entire. Why does he turn them all into vampires? He doesn't need to.
For retribution.
Well, he doesn't. I think he doesn't think. Well, bear in mind too, his wife just died. His whole reason for fighting is gone, essentially. He's still got the son that he's got to save. He's got to barely hold it together in time. But I think he just sees other warriors and he's like, well, these are my people. They can help me. Let's go get some fucking revenge.
They are all dying.
Well, yeah, they're all going to die. But he doesn't envision that they're going to be bad. And to be honest,
they don't have the will that he does.
It's a dumb thing, I think, for the movie. Like, so everyone just loses their morality instantly.
Immediately.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is that they want to kill the people who've killed them.
No, but they just get so horny for blood. Like, the bloodlust is insane immediately. None of them are good people anymore.
No.
Like, and
they're
just
ready to kill his son. Yeah. Like that.
I think it's supposed to show you that his will is greater than anyone else.
I mean, how strong is his will? Jesus
Christ. But, like,
Christ.
That's the point of difference. There's not even someone who's like, I don't know, maybe we don't kill the kid. Like,
oh, I'll tell you what is sick. The final act is fucking bonkers and a lot of it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The dumbest, coolest shot in the movie is when they're he's like, oh, we fucking beat him, aren't we great? And he's like, hang on a minute. The sun should be rising over there. What's going on? Lightning crash. Giant bat made of lightning in the sky.
Loved it.
That is the coolest, dumbest thing.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I want the Dark Universe back so bad, boys.
What could have been?
What could have been?
I tell you something that... Try and explain this to me.
Okay.
Wife falls.
Yes. Okay? Yeah.
Wife dies. The fall. So what? She wasn't stabbed. She fell over the edge.
Yeah.
So the thing that has taken her life is the impact of falling.
And it's a massive fall.
The biggest fall there could be.
The biggest fall in cinema history, maybe.
If we're being realistic, it would have obliterated her body. Yeah. So she's perfectly angelic on the ground. Right. She's got enough energy and strength.
Not a drop of blood on her.
Not a drop of blood. It's not that kind of film. We're not going to do that. She's got enough strength to inspire him and tell him what he needs to go and do.
Yeah.
What killed her? Because it's the fall. The fall has killed her.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit.
But it didn't do it.
It takes a little bit.
So here's the thing, Sean. It's a movie fall.
To me, it's just so dumb, though.
Like, does he get to her just slightly too late, so he breaks the fall, but she's like, fucked.
Then we need to see that. I don't know.
You got to see it. You got to have blood. She's got to be
like, have him
out.
Catch her, but her back cracks. Her spine cracked
and she's bleeding out or something. Like, they don't show you enough, I guess. Yeah. It looks like
he could also turn her.
Yeah, that's
he could have. That's another thing. Like, yeah, so 2 minutes later, he turns his whole...
Yeah, she's dead by that point.
Yeah, I
love that she dies. He buries her in a beautiful grave. He's now full vampire. He then recruits all of the dead people, and then they go get the Turkish army. It's like, man, that grave looks like it took a while.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he's super strong. He can
also, here's a question.
Yeah.
Who is the son presiding over at the end of the film?
Yeah, where are these people?
Who's the kingdom? The priest rescues him. I imagine there's a few people who escaped. No,
they left some of the people in their town. So when they went to go to the monastery. They took a lot of the people enough to draw their attention, but they did say they left people back at the town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I must miss that plot point. Well, I missed it too. What the fuck?
How many times did you say this? Oh, 4 or 5.
Jesus.
No. I think they took everybody.
No.
Yeah.
I'm gonna believe Damo, Sean.
This is true.
It's in the dialogue.
I messaged Tom last night because I watched it and I was like, I thought Bright Eyes got thrown off a cliff to his death, and then he's in the, like, a couple in scenes later.
Scene,
I didn't see the little bit where he's hanging on the side of the cliff. Yeah. I even went back to watch it after because I'm like, I've got to bring this up with the boy. And I must have seen Vlad push him off the cliff and just stopped watching it and be like, there it is again.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't wait for the little clip of him hanging on.
Yeah,
but I find that the death of the wife is just very silly.
Oh, it's a, like, ludicrous.
You need to have her be stabbed up top so that, like, it can't be the fall that killed her because the fall didn't kill her.
No.
She's alive enough to be like, go and save our boy.
As well as you saying, like, she didn't bleed, that's not this kind of movie. It fucking should be.
Well, it is.
Because he needs to be tempted by blood. Like, I really feel like they didn't go hard enough on that.
Isn't it funny? Because even he basically rips Dominic Cooper's throat out at the end, and then you see the body fall down onto the coins. But there's no blood.
No.
He should have blood coming out of him. It's a Dracula movie.
Right.
Which, is it MA rated? I don't know.
I reckon it's trying to keep it PG-13 or M.
But it's like, you've shown blood. Like, they're very selective about when they show blood. Just commit.
America's weird, man.
They are very weird.
Mm. How would we do in this situation, lads?
I think we're becoming vampire boys forever. Yes. Woo!
How strong as you will.
I want to be a vampire boy with you guys.
Tom walks out of that cave, immediately starts biting people.
Morality's going to slip away, though, Tom.
No, it's not. I get to hang out with my friends forever.
Yeah, what if your friends want to kill you, though?
You don't want to kill me.
There wasn't any vampire on vampire fighting.
No, that's, well, just at the end.
You
cook
too much by Underworld, my friend.
Yes.
Not every movie has to be vampire on vampire.
Also, okay, the end falls apart into a lot of dumb things, but even like, so Vlad's decision to let the priest take his boy, right? That's fine. And then I think Vlad does the parting of the clouds, and the sun comes down. Obviously, it's going to kill him last because it's cinema. We want to see him hang in there. Why couldn't he quickly, because they all incinerate really quickly, and he has enough time to turn around and look at his son and all that.
Yeah, make it emotional.
Bring the clouds back over.
No, he wants to die.
But you could be alive to look after your boy.
No.
You going to trust him with that priest who tried to kill you?
I think he's literally like, I'm now a monster.
Yeah.
A monster can't raise my son. I'm going to I'm going to hell because I'm the devil.
This is where the time jump's problematic because it skips the part where the little guy would have woken Vlad up and Vlad would have, like, what happened to his son? Did he go and find his son? Or did he go, no, that part of my life's over now.
Yeah.
He's with the priests. He'll be
fine.
Catch
you, mate. I won't keep an eye on him.
I'm going to fuck off.
But also, we know at some point he ends up back in his Castle Dracula.
right.
Does he? Actually, yeah, by the logic of the lore, I suppose. Yeah, yes, he does. Yeah.
I think the longer we talk about this movie, we put more holes in it than a neck bitten by a vampire. I think we need to wrap this episode up before we completely unravel this movie.
Good film. 4 stars. I love it. I'll watch it again.
So, 3 vampires doing...
Oh, yeah, we're 3 vampires. Yeah.
Although, I will say this, boys. I don't know if this town's big enough for 3 podcasters. Or 3 vampires.
Oh, Tommy, let the games begin. That is all the Sketty Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you beautiful Sketty listeners would like to help us out, you become a patron for just $5 a month. Just over to patreon.com/SkettyBoys, where you get a whole slew of beefy, tasty goods. Otherwise, you can leave us a review wherever you listen. That helps quite a lot. Or you can, if you'd like, you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to follow us on socials, we are at ScaredyBoys or at ScaredyBoysPodcast. Individually, I'm at DamianRob.Ryder.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
I got some juice.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.